Okay, I'm Paul Fishwick. I'm professor of A-Tech and computer science, and I'm here with Dura and Jim, experts in chess and knowledgeable about everything chess and UTD. Can you introduce yourselves?
Yes, my name is Jim Stallings, and I'm the director of the chess program here at UT Dallas.
My name is Zura Jevahadze. I'm an international master at chess, studying emerging media and communication at UT Dallas.
Okay, Jim, I guess to start things out, can you tell us sort of a brief history of the chess program? I know it's been around a long time.
Yes, it has. It started actually 20 years ago in 1996, and it was driven by the students at UT Dallas. They went to Professor Tim Redman, who's a professor of literary studies, and they knew he had something to do with the chess world. And the fact is, he'd actually been president of the U.S. Chess Federation. And they said, could you help us get a chess club started? And so ultimately, Dr. Redman would confer with our administration. That would include, at the time, President Franklin Jennifer, Provost was Hobson Wildenthal, and the Dean of Undergraduate Studies was Dennis Kratz. And they decided to actually offer scholarships for chess, four-year scholarships. And the idea was to develop a competitive chess team, a team that was capable of winning the highest awards in collegiate chess. Also, not only that, which would get recognition from the university, but they would recruit top students as well. So this was another way, finally, of getting publicity for the university, because as many people know, years ago, 20 years ago, UT Dallas was just not that well known at that point in time.
Okay, thanks, Jim. Zura, what attracted you to UTD? Obviously, chess, but beyond that, what motivated you to come here?
UT Dallas has one of the leading chess teams over the world, I would say. So when I decided to go to university or go to college, I was considering options where I could fulfill my academics and chess at the same time. So UTD was the best choice for me, so I'm happy to be here.
Okay, thanks. One of the things we did talk about in conference earlier, and I think I'm going to bring up again, is this sort of idea between cognition, what's going on in the brain and chess. And some people were asking, does playing chess help you think in a particular way? Do either one of you want to opine on that one?
Well, just from my own viewpoint, I think playing chess makes one very good at playing chess. I'd be hesitant to make too many claims outside of that. Now, having said that, though, we believe it's very useful for young children. That's why we actually have these chess camps in the summer, and kids come to it, because it teaches them a more disciplined way of thinking. There's a logic involved. It's sort of an if-then, a hypothesis testing. And actually, interesting enough, a lot of people don't realize this, from a literary sense, it's good as well. Each chess player is writing their own story, but it's interactive. I have my drama. I see the great things I'm going to do. I see things I'm afraid of. And you're creating your own story at the same time. And so it's sort of fun to see how these collide in this collaborative effort.
So you mean chess can be kind of an attractor or a nexus or something, or catalyst for many different areas? Is that the...
Absolutely.
I've been asked a lot of times from parents mostly, should I take my children to chess in order to boost his creativity, let's say. And I always encourage parents to take their children to chess, because kid might not become a professional chess player, but it definitely helps in a lot of areas like problem solving and creativity and memory, for sure. It helps in a lot of fields to memorize different kind of information.
Speaking of memory, I have to come back to this question about blindfold chess. Do you want to say something about that and what it takes to be good at it or to do it at all?
Blindfold chess is an interesting phenomenon, I would say. usually when you do something for a very long time, you become better and better at it. So after some time, even in life, you might not be looking at the chessboard, but you still think about the game itself. So after that, already like blindfold chess becomes like easy for professional chess players, I would say.
So Zura, you said you're in the EMAC program and you just started.
Yes.
Do you see, and maybe this is too early to ask this, but I'm wondering, do you see any potential connections between what you might do in the EMAC program and the world of chess?
Actually, I do. One of the field I want to really become good at and specialize would be web design. So I would be able to create, let's say, good service for the chess players. That was one of my initial idea. And also what Emacs, I believe, would help is creative process. So I would want to be creative director of some company connected to chess, definitely.
Okay, so yeah, when you say web design, that's interesting. I'm trying to make the connection, but it sounds like web design, but maybe for something related to chess.
Yes, chess server. There are a lot of players. Okay, nowadays internet services are going viral. So we all need, every field needs good web service. Web design in that sense is very important to be able to technically afford and technically take care of these things needs specialization.
I would sort of chime in on that in the sense that a chess player has to strategically always keep this overarching goal in mind, in other words, the big picture. They have to see that, but that's not enough. They also have to drill down and to see all these very minute variations and how things work. In that sense, you have to become very practical. So I think a chess player is well prepared to do this type of work.
Okay. There's something I had in mind, and it didn't come up during the bigger meeting that we had, but I want to bring it up here. What is your we'll take each of you in turn, but what is your first memory of chess? You know, when you said, what's your first exposure? What's the first major memory that you have, and do you link it to a particular family member or person or something else?
That's a good question, actually. Very first memory would be after a week I started playing chess. I remember I was 7 years old, and when my mom first took me to chess teacher, I really got passionate about it. So after a week I got a cold, and I remember I had 40 Celsius temperature. And I was sleeping with chess in my bed. That was the moment when my mom realized that, oh, okay.
Was that painful? It depends on, you know, if you're in contact with a knight or something.
But it was, yeah, I knew that from the very first moment that I would be passionate about this game. So
I would say that no one in my family played, first of all, so I had to actually ultimately teach myself, which is sort of unusual. I had to do that from a book, but I think there was something about chess, and maybe seeing it in movies and on TV, and this is probably still true today, it seemed like cool people, I thought, played chess. In other words, I was attracted to the fact that these people who seemed to be deep thinkers and people who could really look a little farther into life than most people were chess players. And so I thought, I wanted to be like them, emulate them. And so, and even today, I think you still see that in movies today, where shorthand for the protagonist is a chessboard set up in his room someplace. We say, oh, well, that guy's pretty sharp. He plays chess. So it seems culturally, that's what, across all levels of society, people seem to respect chess in that sense.
Now, Zira, I'm not sure if I should ask you, I'm going to show my age, about the Fisher-Spassky match, because it was something that was on my mind at the time. The whole United States was watching this, because Russia is the mothership of chess, right? I mean, it's part of the blood, right? Would you say that?
Exactly. In Soviet culture, chess is very important. It's like number one sport played everywhere, actually, not in just some particular areas. It's played everywhere. So Soviet Union paid really a lot of attention to this game. And it was especially thrilling because out of nowhere, this guy from America, no descendants, no chess culture, came out of nowhere and just opposed the whole Soviet machine, let's say, Soviet culture. So, in my opinion, that was like a really watershed of cultures, and that what made this match so thrilling and interesting.
Also, Fischer, as I remember, I mean, he's always had, while he was alive, right, he always had strange views, and he had some strange antics while he was playing chess.
yes.
Jim's laughing.
Actually, yeah. 2 months ago, I believe, there was a new movie.
Pawn Sacrifice.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It is about Spassky-Fischer match particularly.
Okay.
That's true. Fischer had a lot of, let's say, I would say exaggerated, because he believed that he was followed everywhere, and they were not, they didn't allow him, let's say, to perform at his best. But from another point of view, I think he contributed greatly, because Fischer was the one who raised a lot of funds, like money, let's say. Fischer gave chess like popularity over the world, I would say, because before that chess was not paid really well, and Fischer made it really clear that every field needs good payment.
Jim?
Oh, absolutely. All chess grandmasters today owe Bobby Fischer a debt of gratitude, because he really upped the stakes for what people are paid in chess tournaments. But getting back to his behavior, it was definitely what you might mildly call idiosyncratic. He did have some interesting views on different topics, and felt quite often that people were against him. But on the other hand, that tended to give him that sort of indomitable spirit, you know, that competitive edge, that, you know, desire to fight and win at all costs. And so he was really consumed by that. And I don't know if many people realize, you know, he actually had a return match with Spassky 20 years later in 1992. Mm-hmm. And they made a movie about that, Searching for Bobby Fischer. There was a book written. And so it was interesting, because he had not played any competitive chess in 20 years. Spassky was still a top-rated player, been very active, and Fischer came back and once again defeated Spassky.
Yeah, one more interesting things I would like to add is, like, one of my favorite chess quotes, I would say, which Fischer is the author. He was asked once, what do you think is the role of psychology in chess? And his answer was, I don't believe in psychology, I believe in good moves. So that changed the kind of approach. That was like a new thing at that time, because psychology played, and still plays, of course, a huge role in the game of chess.
I would also go along with that in the sense that, as exacting as playing the correct moves is, it's still, there's something about just being a few feet away from your opponent, where there's no sound, nobody else is around. You really do pick up on a lot. There's a lot of information being transmitted there, And it's pretty fascinating from a psychological standpoint. It's, a lot of people want to think that chess is just pure memory or logical moves, and that's not true. There is an emotional component. And a lot of times, in their postmortems of games, top-rated grandmasters will actually say, you know, at this point I wasn't sure, I was afraid to play this other move, and they'll tell the truth. Now, other times people say, oh, I saw this all along, I totally knew I was going to win, you know. Maybe not so true always.
Well, do they record, I mean, Jim, your point is interesting. Do they record video of any games in addition to the actual?
Yes, they do, but having said that, watching a tournament chess player game is sort of like watching paint dry. It can be a slow process.
Okay, we're going to wrap up here. I wanted to thank Jim and Zura, but I want to just ask you, if people who are listening want to get more information on UT Dallas Chess, where do they go?
Oh, definitely. We have a website. They can contact me. But go to UT Dallas, the main homepage, and type in chess, and you'll come to the chess program. We have videos there of the team. We have games that have been played at tournaments. There's a lot of information on our website.
All right. Thank you both very much.
Thanks for hosting us.
Thank you.